This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe P. Zapia, and it's time for one more mock draft. That's right. It's the last one. Mock draft 6.0. This time, we're definitely going to get it right because not only are Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, here with us, and Thor Nystrom, the Minnesota Madman, but we've also brought in the big guns, Emery Hunt, the man behind the football game plan. You can see him all over the CBS landscape, announcing games, doing all kinds of in color work for everybody as the analyst there. He's just one of the best there is in the business. And Emery, you and I have been doing shows together for, 10 years off and on. But you give some of the best analysis out there. You played the game. You understand it. Today, we're going to kick things up a notch, too, with a lot of trades, because that's what the NFL draft is, right? We know the NFL draft, night one, night two, there's going to be a lot of movement. If anything, from the last 3 years has taught us something. Emery, do you see this being another night where the trades are going to be fast and furious come draft day?
It's hard to predict, but, you know, I feel like with the contracts being what they are, teams are now a little bit more aggressive in terms of going up or down and making moves, try to either acquire more cheaper picks or packaging cheaper picks to go and get the guy they specifically want. Because their roster is full. I feel like a lot of these teams need a lot of credit for, you know, really stockpiling their roster. It's not a lot of room to put guys on if you're too deep, it's super strong. So it's going to be, I think it's can go either way in terms of the trades because of how unique the area is now that we're in.
Well, we tried to throw some trades out there for the boys. Let's start at the top. Emery, you have the first pick every single time the Bears have taken Caleb Williams. We think it's a lock. What do you think about Caleb Williams at the top of this draft again? And what do you think he'll be for the Bears?
I think he'll be one rookie that can step in and play really well. The team is set up to me kind of like how, albeit on one side of the ball, though their defense is solid and they were able to stockpile some more pieces and add talent. It's kind of like when Russell Wilson stepped into the Seahawks situation, the Seahawks 79-79. Russell comes in, boom, playoffs. You know, then the next year's Super Bowl. I'm not saying next year, the 2 years from now, the Bears are going to the Super Bowl, but I do feel like they can make the playoffs this year based off how this team is set up around Caleb Williams.
Yeah, the Bears were interesting down the stretch, that's for sure. Let's see how Caleb Williams can elevate them to the next level. Next up is Thor with the Washington Commanders at the 2 pick. Boy, they were hosting everybody this week. I'm surprised Thor wasn't in Washington hobnobbing and getting to the buffet. So, Thor, who do they take here with the 2nd overall pick?
I'm going to take the guy whose agent did not appreciate that from Washington in Jaden Daniels. Now, the betting market reacted extremely strongly to this. The betting market for that number two overall selection. It's like the with the Bitcoins and stuff like that and the market going up and down and up and down. Drake May had started as a prohibitive favorite by 3-4 days ago. Jaden Daniels was near a 3-1 favorite for this slot. That was overstating it for sure. The Washington organization has put out zero about their intentions. We know they're going to take a quarterback, but zero about their intentions beyond that. So that was overstating it. But now the market has corrected all the way back to where it is. It's Jaden Daniels against Drake May for this thing. But I'm remaining with Jaden Daniels. That's where I've been on this thing from the get. So I'm sending Jaden Daniels again to Washington.
Get ready, folks. A little bit of chaos here. And his name is Derek Brown. Number three, the Patriots. What do you have?
Curveballs, baby. Curveballs for days. They go quarterback, but it's not the guy that we've been mocking to the New England Patriots. They toss a curveball at everybody. We've heard the interest is out there. At the New England Patriots going with J.J. McCarthy here at the top three. They don't trade back. They don't go Drake May. Send J.J. to New England.
Well, I'm happy they're not trading back, but I'm not necessarily happy about this move. However, nothing would surprise me at this point. There's been a lot of discussions lately, too. We'll keep an eye on that. Don't forget, as the draft unfolds, we're going to be live here on the channel on draft night, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here. Make sure you join us live for the draft, because if this happens, I don't know what Thor Nystrom's going to do. He's going to lose his mind if he doesn't get J.J. McCarthy. So you're going to want to watch that live. Subscribe to the channel, Fantasy Pros. Ring the bell till it goes ding for notifications, because we're going to be live Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, and Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern for the draft, too. Not one, but two nights this year, live, Derek Brown, Thor Nystrom, myself, a whole host of fun folks, and you never know the surprises we're going to have in store. So speaking of surprises, let's see if there's any surprises here. At the fourth pick, the Arizona Cardinals, Emory Hunt, you're up next.
I like the pairing of a big wide receiver with Kyler Murray. I like Michael Wilson, who they had drafted last year out of Stanford. I do like Marvin Harrison Jr. in this spot. Giving him another big body target out there on the perimeter. So therefore, their passing game can really win above the rim going deeper down the field.
And the Chargers are up next, Thor. That's you.
Chargers certainly listening to trade offers. They're taking phone calls. They also, of course, Jim Harbaugh taking over there fetishizes the offensive line play. And there is a fabulous offensive tackle prospect on the board this year that tops it. What is a really good offensive line class. But in my opinion, there's one dude that stands above that in Joe Alt and literally heads and shoulders above it. The guy is absolutely massive. Fabulous last couple of years. Obviously, NFL bloodlines and the athletic testing profile to go along with all that. So it is possible that if they, especially if they don't like the offers that they are getting, that they might just decide to stick and pick Joe Alt. So we were going to send Joe Alt to Los Angeles.
The New York Giants are up at six, and Derek Brown, we all know every time we come to this pick, the cupboard is bare at wide receiver, so is that where they go again?
That is where they go again, Joey. Malik Nabers, wide receiver at LSU. Look, regardless of whoever's going to be under center this year for the New York Giants, we know they need receiving talent in the room. Let's give them a true wide receiver one with Nabers.
Emery, that brings us to the seventh pick in the Tennessee Titans. You're on the clock.
They've done a really good job this offseason on both sides of the ball. Quarterback is still a question for me, but why not continue to stockpile talent along that offensive line? And Troy Fatanu out of Washington, to me, is one heck of a tackle. And I will leave him out there at tackle, let him just dominate from day one.
All right, that brings up the Minnesota Vikings at eight. So Thor Nystrom, there's been a trade made here for the Vikings to get here. Talk me through that trade and talk me through the pick.
Yeah, you know, do most of these mocks or you look most mock drafts around the industry, you see the four quarterbacks going in the top five, which of course supposes that there is a trade from behind into either the Arizona or Los Angeles Chargers slot. If that is impossible, then it becomes, do the Giants take the quarterback at six? The Giants, maybe they have put that out there. There is an idea that they have put that out there so that a team will hop them. So one of the better wide receivers or offensive linemen will fall to them because those are two positions of acute need for the Giants. If that indeed happened, that would present the possibility that the QB4 in this class would filter a bit beneath that and go slightly lower than people are currently anticipating. That's what ended up happening in this scenario with Drake May falling down to the eighth slot. If that happened, the Vikings, of course, their quarterback coach McCown coached Drake May in high school, and Drake May, very good fit for Kevin O'Connell's offense in terms of those heat ring throws over the intermediate sector. They would be very interested in trading up. They were able to do that with the Falcons here into the eighth slot and take Drake May. The trade chart on this one is jive by the Vikings sending their 2 fourth-round picks to Atlanta to move up those three spots. Maybe Atlanta forces them to kick in another late-round pick. But that's how this trade gets done, and the Vikings get their quarterback of the future.
Real quick, I got to ask this because it's the first time in a long time and we don't have J.J. McCarthy as a Viking. Would you rather have May or McCarthy as a Vikings fan?
Personally, I would rather have J.J. McCarthy. He's a bit higher on my board, but they are both very good fits for the KOC offense. Those guys, in my opinion, are the two best in this class, just as pure fits for that offense because of how good they are throwing over the middle and those anticipatory concepts. KOC loves to attack the middle of the field in the aerial game to open up the one-on-one shots on the outside. It's sort of an inverted concept to what some other guys do where they like throwing down the field and then the middle of the field, maybe that's where you get some shots there because the defense doesn't have to pay attention to it. But McVay, Shanahan, and KOC, they like to do it the other way around.
Number 9 pick belongs to the Bears and Derek Brown.
Well, I'm going to throw another curveball here, guys. And everybody is saying, okay, it could be wide receiver, could be edge, could be tackle. Leiatu Olatu needs some respect on his name, man. I think there's not a hard case to make that he is the number one edge, assuming all the medicals come back clean and Chicago Bears are fine with this. He is the pick here. Defensive edge out of UCLA. You look at this edge class and just looking at the entire year overall, top 12 in hurries, third in sacks. He was second in pass rush win rate last year amongst all edges. Kid's a stud. So if we can check off the box of they feel good with his medicals, he should be, and he has the talent to be a top 12 pick in the NFL draft.
Now, there's been a lot of smoke of the Jets at 10 taking Brock Bowers, but Emory Hunt, you've gone another direction.
Yeah, I'm going offensive tackle. Quarterback could also be in play here, too. You don't know what type of Aaron Rodgers you're going to get, but Olufashinu, you know you're going to get a guy that's a rock-solid tackle. And we know whoever takes the first tackle, there's going to be a run of those elite-type talents. So why not get your guy right now for the future and also for right now in Fashinu?
The Falcons now at 11 after moving back with the Vikings. Thor, that pick belongs to you.
This is why Atlanta would be, they would be happy to take what they could get to move down just a little bit because, you look at the mocks and their roster and their positional needs, you always see it's edge and it's cornerback. Well, at the top of the board, those first 7 picks, it's going to be offense, 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 offense. You go down to 11, they might still get their number one guy at those two buckets. And especially if they can project that, they would be very interested in taking what they could. And then paying the dude 3 slots less in the rookie contract deal. Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is a guy that they could be attracted to. And that's who I'm going to send to Atlanta. Edge rusher could be in play here as well, but Quinyon Mitchell, very good fit for that defense.
Thor and I had a great discussion on the Betting Pros channel. Go check it out. That shows up right now, Betting Pros YouTube, where we're going through all the early wagers here on the NFL draft. And this was one of them, that Quinyon Mitchell would be the guy possibly going to the Falcons here in the first corner going off the board as well. At 12, the Denver Broncos, Derek Brown, they're on the clock. We've been hearing some Bo Nix rumors, some other rumors here. But what do you think the Denver Broncos might do here with this pick?
I do not think they go quarterback in the first round. I do not think that Bo Nix goes in the first round. So I'm going to have Denver go with BPA here. They're going to take the best player off the board. And look, after getting rid of Jerry Jeudy and looking at this depth chart overall, they need pass game help. If you are going to drop a quarterback into this situation, let's give them tight end out of Georgia, Brock Bowers.
Now, what's interesting here, Derek, do you think that the Denver Broncos would be better off just trading out of the first round altogether with their needs on their roster being so many?
I think it's in play. I mean, depending on what it takes to possibly try to move up for a quarterback, what do they want to do in the first round? We're also talking about a team that doesn't have a ton of draft equity. Maybe they, can kick in some picks for next year and stuff. But I think either scenario is firmly in play and on the board for Denver. They could trade up. They could trade back. They could trade all the way out of the first round and try to stock up other positions.
Interesting pick here, too. And certainly Sean Payton knows a thing or two about getting some tight ends being fantasy worthy. So I ain't mad at Brock Bowers being here. The Raiders at 13, Emory Hunt. This pick is spicy. I'm excited about this. Let's talk about the 13th pick that you've made here for Vegas.
Yeah, they're getting the best quarterback on their roster right now, because Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew are QB2s, QB3s. Here's a guy that could be your QB1. This is a team that has a lot of talent already. Why not have someone and get them the football accurately deeper down the field in Michael Penix Jr.? I feel like because he had a clean bill of health the last two seasons, I'm not worried about that. You protect him up front, offense should be able to go.
All right. So Penix, ironically, Emery, I don't know if you know this, you probably don't. Every draft we've done, we've had the Raiders taking Penix, but in the second round. So this is the first time he's gone in the first round here. I like it. I'm with you, and I agree. He would be the immediate best quarterback on their roster. At 14, the New Orleans Saints and Thor are up next.
Speaking of a habit we've had in these mock drafts, it's trying to help the Saints out with their offensive line situation, and we're going to try to do that again. I love J.C. Latham from Alabama. Now, what he's not is a left tackle in the NFL. What he's going to be is a fabulous starting right tackle for a long, 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 long time, who is not going to be fun for the guy across from him going up against in a phone booth. You do not want J.C. Latham's hands on you. He is going to move you. That's who we are sending to New Orleans.
I'm excited for this next pick because D-Bro knows I'm very excited about the Colts in 2024. So what do they do at 15?
Well, they stopped the fall for a player that has been mocked consistently inside the top 10, top 12. He's fallen down the board a little bit. I stopped the fall here for Roma Dunze, a wide receiver out of Washington. Super talented player. I mean, people are going to hate the fact that he fell down the board. But look, we see this every year with certain prospects. Like, this is not an indictment on Roma Dunze's talent. This is just teams filling other needs and... We could also say, okay, look, maybe a team would trade up for Roma in this scenario, but what if a trade doesn't happen and teams can't come to an agreement? This could happen on draft night.
Very interesting, and my goodness, would I be excited about him and Anthony Richardson together. All right, let's get to the Seahawks at 16. That's Emery Hunt's pick.
Seahawks need juice off the edge, and I feel like you get one of the top-tier pass rushers here in Dallas Turner to kind of fit what they do. A lot of crossover to what Mike McDonald wants to do, to what Pete Carroll did. So I like the edge rusher here for the Seahawks.
Makes a ton of sense. At 17, the Jaguars are up next. That Thor pick is yours.
Yeah, Jacksonville needs to address their secondary, and probably with this first pick, if someone is there that they like and they figure to like Terrion Arnold. Some people think he is the best cornerback in this class. He barely missed that designation on my personal board. In a split decision against Quinion. Terrion Arnold, the guy coming into this year, no one was talking about him in the Alabama cornerback room. It was all Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid. Coming out of it, it's all Terrion, Terrion, Terrion was clearly the better player on the field this past year for a very, very good Crimson Tide defense. That was the reason that Alabama roared back after a poor start to last season, made the college football playoff, was because of that awesome defense. And Terrion Arnold was a huge part of that, locking down the opposing wide receiver one on the other team. We'll send him to Jacksonville.
All right. Now, at the 18th spot, we have another trade alert. Derek Brown, take us through it.
Miami Dolphins come up here. They try to get ahead of the Los Angeles Rams. And here we have two teams back to back that have needs a defensive tackle. Miami kind of created their own problem and mess here with, you know, letting go Christian Wilkins and stuff. They're going to fill a need. They're going to draft Byron Murphy out of Texas.
Emery, the Rams can't be happy at that. So where do they pivot to at 19?
Well, in order to enhance the chances of Kobe Turner having an even better season in his second season, you get a dominant pass rusher on the outside. Jared Verse, Florida State, to me, fits perfectly here.
All right. Up next is the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20, Thor.
Joey, you know that thing where they say, what do you get the guy who has everything? You know, I was sitting there with this pick, and it's like, what do you get the team that has all the different needs on the offensive line? They need the center. They need the tackle. I figured I'd just toss him a guy that can do all of it. And Graham Barton from Duke was an awesome collegiate left tackle the past couple years after beginning his career at Duke as a very good center as a freshman. He could do both. People have projected him to center in the NFL. Could certainly be a very good guard. I think he could also potentially handle tackle duties at the next level. So the Steelers can bring him in, figure it out in training camp. You got multiple open starting jobs available on that offensive line. Graham Barton will fill one of them.
I had the same problem for Derek Brown's birthday, and that's why I got him the big giant hat. Because what do you get for the man that's got everything? And you know what? When he wore that big giant hat on the show, it looked pretty damn sexy, I'm not going to lie.
All right,
at 21, we have the Cincinnati Bengals on the other end of that Miami trade. So, D-Bro, what do they do at 21?
Well, they're going to tip their hand here a little bit foreshadowing maybe a trade that comes up in the second round, but I have the Cincinnati Bengals throwing caution to the wind and going with wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. So stay tuned for what happens in the second round.
At 22, ooh, I love the tease. At 22, the Philadelphia Eagles, Emory Hunt. They got a lot of picks, so how do they kick things off here?
Getting better at cornerback, man, and younger. Yeah. With Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama, who's now fully healthy, should be ready to go from day one, and is already, in my opinion, at least 1B to their 1A in Darius Slay.
Perfect fit there. At 23, the Minnesota Vikings, that's you, Thor, again.
In the first round, Kwesi with Drake May has gotten celebration from Kevin O'Connell, and he's gotten celebration from Josh McCown, and the fan base is rejoicing. But Brian Flores, in the intermediate 15 picks, he's saying, what about me, Quase? What about me? And Quase says, don't worry, I'll hit you back at 23. That's what he's doing here with Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who is, if you were to build a defensive back that Brian Flores, like in that mold, it is Cooper DeJean, who is not a tweener of a defensive back. He is the move chess piece defensive back guy. Can play on the boundary, can play nickel, can be a free safety. And I seen him a bunch at Iowa. You can actually put him in the box either to come off the corner. He is actually a solid pass rusher when he is sent after the quarterback. And he also flies around in stack boxes and will hit running backs. Also a very good special teams player, including an awesome punt returner.
There you go. A little bit of everything there out of Cooper DeJean for the Vikings. At 24, the Dallas Cowboys and Derek Brown.
Thor loving an Iowa player. I've never seen it or heard it before. Never happens. No,
we'll see if Tory Taylor gets into the third round in this thing later on.
Waiting for it, baby.
For more
punting is winning.
Mock draft six.
Oh, good
Derek
Lord.
Brown.
But considering, let's get back to the picks here. With Dallas Cowboys, they go the Tyler Smith route here. They're going to take a tackle and bump him to guard in year one and really help their offensive line. Let's give him Talisa Fuaga, offensive tackle out of Oregon State.
The Green Bay Packers at 25. Emory is a very young team. Obviously, they're going to continue to build through the draft. So what do they do here with their first pick in the first?
They need depth along the offensive line. Tyler Guyton is someone that's not only talented to be a starter, maybe in year two, but gives you instantly immediate and incredible depth right there at day one. So I'm going offensive tackle out of Oklahoma.
It's really interesting, Emory, because I think this is the first time we've ever done this where they didn't go in the secondary in this. So I like that we're shaking things up here. That's what we're doing, folks. We're getting crazy at the end. At 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock, and so is Thor Nystrom.
Yeah, the NFL released their prospect list of who they were inviting to the NFL draft, and it was very short this year. Very, very short list of people that will actually be in the green room. The NFL has become more reticent in recent years of the thing where the guy has to sit in the green room by himself. They experienced that again last year with Mr. Will Levis. It's very interesting on that list, in one name in particular that raised eyebrows, Darius Robinson from Missouri, a guy that had a very good Senior Bowl and a guy who had a very good last season at Missouri. Is he an edge? Is he an interior defensive lineman? Well, you can do either with him. You can move him around. Power player. He is very difficult to deal with. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need a versatile guy like that that is going to knock some heads and be a war daddy.
See, that's my favorite part of the first round is the uncomfortableness of the player who should have gone earlier and keeps going late, or was expected. I shouldn't say should go earlier, but expected to go earlier, and then it gets more and more uncomfortable. Then his girlfriend next to him starts, you know, on Tinder, starts looking for new guys and things like that. That is the best part of the NFL draft. I don't want to lose that. And we won't if you're watching us live. We'll be covering that here on the channel. All right, let's go to the Arizona Cardinals at 27. Derek Brown, you're up.
Oh, I'm so here for Will Levis catching strays. But I'll tell you, if the Arizona Cardinals to make this pick, they're not going to be catching any strays, baby. They stopped the fall of Johnny Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois. We need to, or at least Arizona needs to rebuild this defense. They started with Newton.
All right, I'm going to put Derek Brown in the green room by himself, see how that works out. Let's go to 28 here. Emory Hunt, you're up next for the Buffalo Bills. They have a need at wide receiver. Is that where they're going?
Absolutely. A.D. Mitchell, to me, reminds me a lot of C.D. Lamb. He could win short, intermediate, deep down the field. They need someone that can be a catch-and-run guy, and he's definitely the one. I feel like they can help them out here at 28.
All right, so some positive words there from Mitchell after Thor gave some less than positive words about him on the last show we did on Betting Pros. But Thor, that means the Lions are up next at 29 and arguably your favorite wide receiver is on the board. So let's talk about him.
Here we go.
This is where the show gets long, folks.
No,
I'll keep it shorter this time with a former teammate of AD Mitchell, Ladd McConkey. The Lions need another starting receiver to really flesh that thing out. And, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown came out and said, oh, he's just a slot. And it turns out he can do a little bit of everything. Ladd McConkey, people are like, oh, he's a slot. He played 80% of his snaps on the perimeter for a team that two of the last 3 years won national title and would have been back in the CFP that narrowly lost to Alabama in the SEC title game last year. And then Ladd McConkey tested really, really well. And when we've seen him down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, literally nobody could cover him. No one could even get close to him. He creates separation like he's rolling out of bed. Like, we breathe air. It's so natural for him. In my opinion, Ladd McConkey is an all-day first-round pick, and I think he ends up going in the first round. We were talking about that on the prop show. I'm going under on his props, which are set in the early second round. I think this would be a really good fit for the Lions. Maybe one that doesn't make as much sense on the surface for some people, but I think it does, because McConkey play on the outside, play on the inside. The offensive coordinator there likes to move people around, and the versatility. I think he fits well with the other pieces that they have. And Goff would love him because he's open more than 7-Eleven.
Great conversation about these two wide receivers. Emery, I want to circle back to Mitchell for a second because I heard something on NFL radio today. They were talking about Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills wanting an alpha wide receiver, but somebody who's not a me first guy. Is Mitchell that kind of guy?
You kind of want guys that want the ball. It sounds like they kind of, you know, coddling Allen's feelings. You know, give me a dude that wants, that believes he's open. We saw that play out in that game. AD Mitchell was looking at the sideline like, hey man, I got this guy beat, and they go to the next play, touchdown. Like, that's the kind of guy you want. He wasn't lying. So yeah, he'll be a good fit in Buffalo, but I need for Josh Allen to be a little bit tougher.
All right, speaking of coddling feelings, Derek Brown, you're up next at 30 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, speaking
I can't
of
wait
tough,
for Thursday night. This is gonna be such a fun
it's gonna
show.
Be insane.
All right, let's
man.
Go.
Speaking of being tough, we know that the Baltimore Ravens want to run the dang ball, and they would need guys in the trenches to be able to push teams around. Amarius Mims is one of those guys. So they got to rebuild their offensive line. They started here at 30.
They certainly do. At 31, the San Francisco 49ers. Back to you, Emery Hunt.
Trent Williams can't play forever, man. So I'm going with Kieran Amagaji. He's one of my favorite players in the class at tackle. So why not pick 31? And it's a mock draft, so get the guy that I feel like people should be talking enough more about, and that's Amagaji out of Yale.
Okay, Amagaji goes next. Then the Kansas City Chiefs to close out round one. Back to you, Thor, for the last pick of the first.
I was on Kansas City radio last night, and the host asked me, he's like, with that first round pick, Thor, is it going to be wide receiver? Is it going to be offensive tackle? And I told him, I think there's a better shot of the latter, because with the wide receivers, you have a better shot of projecting an immediate starter walking in in round two and even into round three because of how stacked it is. Offensive tackle class is super duper stacked as well, but it falls off a little bit quicker. And of course, the Chiefs pick at the end of the rounds. So I think that they might be prioritizing that position here. That's why I sent Kingsley Suamatea from BYU to Kansas City, a dude with a big, big ceiling. You just have to work out a couple things with his game, but that is the swing on the upside here.
All right, so first round in the books, and the 82-game preseason is in the books for the NBA, and the real season is just about beginning. The NBA playoffs just kicked off, and DraftKings Sportsbook is ready, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Matt Modi and I sat down and did an extensive look into the NBA playoffs on Betting Pros. Check that out if you're wagering, and make sure you're downloading that Betting Pros app. And of course, for NFL Draft, there's nobody better in terms of betting the NFL Draft than Thorne Dystrom. He gave you the best bets on the board on that show with me as well, so go check out that channel. But when you go make your wagers, do it over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the app, download it, and when you do, use that promo code FANTASYPROS, that's one word, FANTASYPROS. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's FANTASYPROS only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Round two is ours at 33, the Carolina Panthers and Derek Brown.
Need to address the linebacker room. I know linebacker's not a sexy pick, and everybody's going to be jumping for joy, and Carolina takes this guy, but Ezrin Cooper can play, man, and they've got to get some youth in that room. Shaq Thompson, Josie Jewell aren't huge difference makers. They can start, but they've got to get youth there, and they do it with Cooper.
Emory Hunt at 34. The New England Patriots are on the clock.
Keon Coleman is a bona fide dog, so I'm taking him. They need an alpha out there, wide receiver. If I was Pittsburgh, I probably would have taken him in the first round. Just pair him up with George Pickens and just fight everybody. So I'm going Coleman here. Excellent receiver, great hands, great ability to separate. I like his ability here in New England.
God knows they need an alpha here, Emory. It's been a long time since we had somebody like that. All right, let's get to the Arizona Cardinals at 35, Thor Nystrom.
So the Cardinals leave Thursday night feeling really good. They got Marvin Harrison Jr. and Johnny Newton in the first round, and they would be starting Friday night on a heater if this happened, picking Chop Robinson, the edge rusher of Penn State. Chop Robinson absolutely might go in the first round. The pressure rate was ridiculous in college at Penn State the last couple of years. He was either 99th or 100th percentile in terms of pressure rate, and it happens right off the snap. Great first step, super-duper athletic. Questions with him: short arms, and the pressures were not always converted into sacks. One of those guys with a much higher pressure rate than the rote sack number. That is the thing that might knock him from the end of the first round into the top of the second. Arizona would be very happy with that development, and they would take him pretty quick here.
Derek Brown, the Washington Commanders got their quarterback at 36. What do they get?
They start building more pieces around him, and they do that with beginning with Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. You're telling me they can add his speed and his dynamic ability after the catch to this offense with Terry McLaurin? This would roll Jahan Dotson in the slot. Man, Jane Daniels is a deep ball assassin. This would be a beautiful fit.
At 37, that puts the Chargers up and Emory Hunt.
Yeah, they need more help at receiver as well. So I'm going Xavier Leggett of South Carolina. Great catch and run guy, physical presence, alpha on the outside, helps them out underneath.
At 38, the Tennessee Titans, back to you, Thor.
Yeah, in the first round, the Titans took Trey Fatanu from Washington. Let's give him more infrastructure help, and let's give him someone to grapple with inside in practices for the next decade, and send Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan there. Nealon, a guy that's going to fortify the edge, but you can also situationally get him inside on pass rushing reps if you want. He is a very interesting talent. He's been moving up boards here as we move in on draft weekend, and I think that that is justified. He was utterly dominant in the MAC. Now, the MAC has fallen off in recent years, so that's where some people nitpick it. Like, look at the guys he was dominating. But the athletic profile he put up silenced some of those concerns during the pre-draft process.
At 39, we've got another trade. Derek Brown, let's walk us through.
Look, the Carolina Panthers have been very, very consistent about we need to build around Bryce Young. Dave Canellis wants to do that. They're going to do that with this. Not by picking. They're going to trade the 39th overall pick to the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to get T. Higgins on the roster, give him the bag. He is the number one wide receiver on that team in this season. So with the Cincinnati Bengals, they say, thank you. We very much appreciate that. They take offensive tackle Jordan Morgan, and they roll him into guard, let Trent and Orlando Brown bully on the outside. And look, one of those guys moves on after this season. They got Morgan right in-house to play tackle next year.
Emory, what do you think of that trade? It's a big one. Is T. Higgins enough here to start to elevate Bryce Young in Carolina?
Yeah, definitely. They need someone out on a perimeter that is a bona fide number one. You know, that's the luxury Joe Burrow had with Cincinnati. Had two guys that were considered number ones, in my opinion, a 1C, and what they had inside, a veteran savvy guy in the slot that was really good at Pitt, you know, Tyler Boyd. So you need to build that for a young guy to help him have success.
All right, let's stick with you, Emory, at 40 for the Washington Commanders pick.
Building talented depth is key, especially along the offensive line. If this is still a very good tackle class, so getting Patrick Paul here helps, you know, expedite that process of helping strengthen those guys up front.
At 41, that puts the Packers back up in Thor.
Packers need linebacker help, and I sent them the guy that I think is the best linebacker in this class in Junior Colson. A guy that for that nasty Michigan defense was the leader of it and a crux point in the very middle of it. We're going to send him to Green Bay.
Next up is the Texans at 42 and Derek Brown.
Let's give Danico Autry a friend to sit here and just terrorize quarterbacks. Give him Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle out of Michigan.
All right, Jenkins goes to the Texans. That brings up the Falcons at 43 and Emory Hunt.
It works out perfectly because they didn't go pass rusher in the first round, so they get one here. And, and Chris Braswell out of Alabama, a powerful rusher, speed to power, as people like to say, definitely will help out their front seven.
Next up is another trade. Derek Brown is just trading everything all over the place. At 44, that's now the Pittsburgh Steelers. They trade up from 51 with the Raiders. So what do they trade up for here at 44?
I believe it in fantasy, and if I was a GM of a team, it's always go get your guy season. And I believe Pittsburgh, look, Emery talked about Pittsburgh needs some help on the outside. I'm not going to give them Keon Coleman, but let's give them some speed and the ability to stretch a defense. They come up from 51. Pittsburgh Steelers nab Xavier Worthy, who's been mocked in the first round in a lot of different places. He doesn't make it in the first round in this mock, but still, he can only fall so far in the second.
Back to the New Orleans Saints at 45. Derek Brown, that's also you.
Well, another reason the Pittsburgh Steelers felt they had to make the trade is, well, if they weren't going to sit here and nab a wide receiver, the New Orleans Saints were, because they quietly need another wide receiving talent to sit here and play opposite Chris Olave. I love Rashid Shaheed as much as anybody else, but we need a guy that can not only stretch a defense, but he's a three-level threat. He's a fantastic my ball mentality at the catch point. Let's give him Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida.
Now brings us to the Colts at 46 and back to Emery.
Which is interesting because last year we saw them double up on outstanding corners. I was a big Darius Rush fan who's now with the Steelers, but he didn't make it out of preseason for them. So you got Juju Brents already in the fold. Why not go TJ Tampa out of Iowa State?
Makes a lot of sense there. 47, the Giants and Thor.
Back-to-back corners are going off the board here. We're going to give the Giants Enos Rakestra Jr. from Missouri some questions about his size and his speed, but there is no questions about his play style and his coverage chops. That guy is a tone setter, and you want to look for a cornerback that is happy to come up, run the alley, and stick the opposing running back. That guy is gleeful in run support. Giants looking to turn around their culture and different stuff like that coming off a really horrific season. Enos Rakestra is a tempo setter on defense.
Back-to-back corners off the board before the Jaguars pick at 48 and Derek Brown.
Look, if people are surprised by this pick, I don't know where you've been or not listening to my content, but I'm going to put respect on the guy's name. I'm going to give Jacksonville, who needs a wide receiver and a difference maker. And if you think Javon Baker is not that, you haven't turned on his tape, man. Let's give him Javon Baker, wide receiver out of UCF.
I just can't believe the Jaguars had two picks here and they haven't taken a lineman. No offensive line help for poor Trevor Lawrence. Ugh,
hey, he's got mobility. He can run around. It's okay, Jim.
Yeah,
okay.
He better make... I hope he stays upright. I'm just a little worried about that. Let's go to the Cincinnati Bengals at 49. Back to you, Emery.
Propaganda has ruined a lot of the way people view football with the talk of win from the pocket and also franchise left tackle, when in reality, guard center guard play is where you need to be excellent because that's where offense happens, run game, and also pass pro. Getting the Bengals help up front along the offensive interior with Cooper Beebe, who is an outstanding guard out of Kansas State.
There you go. At 50, the Philadelphia Eagles and Thor.
Braden Fiske falling down here a little bit from where he was right after that crazy NFL combine performance that he had. He is an athletic freak. And the pass rushing is very, very good on his film as well. There's some holes in his game elsewhere, but if you're looking for that and all of a sudden you're down at 50, the juice is worth the squeeze to buy a ticket on that ride. So Braden Fiske, the interior defensive lineman from Florida State, the 3 technique, is headed to Philly.
Before we get to the next pick, which also belongs to Thor, which is the second part of that trade with the Steelers, it's the Raiders. I want to remind everybody, if you need tickets, you got to use the Game Time app. I mean, if you're frustrated like so many people are with the ticket buying experience, whether it be all the extra fees or the way you have to go through all these hoops in order to get tickets for your favorite concerts or your favorite sporting events, don't do it anymore. Just go use the Game Time app. That's what you got to do. You get the best deals. You get the view from your seat. No nonsense. Take all the guesswork out of buying tickets. And right now, all you have to do is download the Game Time app, create an account, and use that promo code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first purchase. Again, it doesn't matter if it's basketball, hockey, football, comedy, theater. It doesn't matter. They've got it. They've got everything. Baseball games, you name it. The Game Time app is prepared for you. So get going. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem it at Game Time right now. And make sure you use that promo code FANTASYPROS. That's FANTASYPROS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed. The 51 pick now with the Raiders. Thor, that's you.
The Raiders grabbed some cornerback help with Max Melton, a very talented outside corner from Rutgers.
There you go. Local boy here from Jersey. At 52, the Rams and Emory Hunter back on the clock.
Stay healthy, Peyton Wilson, because he's going to be a star in the NFL if he's able to do so. Big fan of him. Helps continue to strengthen the Rams on defense.
Next up is the Eagles at 53. And back to Thor.
Jackson Powers Johnson, the interior offensive lineman from Oregon, the guy who played center last year, he was a very good guard prior to that, is a guy that we have had at the end of the first round in a lot of these mocks that we've had going back. He falls all the way to number 53 here. Howie Roseman and that Eagles front office, they're prerogative. They're one of those teams that just, you know, the Ravens and Ozzie Newsome used to love to do this of like, yeah, NFL, go ahead and pick. And our whole prerogative is just to sit back and then make like the mistakes that you make. We'll just happily accept them. And that's what happens here with Jackson Powers Johnson falling all the way down to 53. Howie Roseman just accepts the gift that has fallen to them. Obviously, the Eagles just had everyone's favorite veteran center retired. Now, they did give themselves a contingency plan in advance by drafting Mr. Cam Jurgens a year or two ago. Everyone's Rich Eisen's combine darling a couple years ago. Him and Jeremiah had a lot of fun with that. But Jackson Powers Johnson not only would compete with Jurgens for that center spot, but again, he has the three position versatility. We've seen him be very good at guard in the past. So he would also give the Eagles help there.
There you go. The heir apparent could be Jackson Powers Johnson for Jason Kelce. At 54, the Cleveland Browns and Derek Brown.
I'm shaking my head because if the Eagles make these two picks and they are smash picks, Mike Mayer is going to be insufferable all night.
Well, how is that different than every other day? That's my question.
Shots fired.
I love you, Mike.
Oh, man.
I love you.
Oh, that's something. All right. Anyway, Cleveland Browns, they're on the clock. Look, the Nick Chubb worries are very real right now, and I don't know if we get much contribution from Nick Chubb, unfortunately coming back from the gruesome injury, but if he can't come back this year, they need a guy who could tote the rock. Jerome Ford, they weren't willing to give him the full workload last year. He falls back. He can play the Kareem Hunt role in this backfield. Let's give him running back Trey Benson out of Florida State.
Does it make you sad, Emory, that we got all the way now? We're at the 54th pick before we saw a running back go off the board.
Not at all. This is the class that warrants that. Now, if we were doing this last year, then it would have been like, there's no way all that explosiveness is not going in the first round. So this is kind of the class where you could kind of see this happen.
Who's your gem of this running back class, Emory? Because I'm curious. I mean, you're a guy that played the position. You understand better than anybody. Last year, you said, you know, you're 100% correct. You have Bijan. You have Jahmyr Gibbs. You have all this incredible talent. This year, it is kind of a dicey group here. You got some guys coming off injury. You got some guys maybe questionable as three down backs. Who's the class of this running back class, in your opinion?
I feel like Braylon Allen, he's my number one, but he's someone that doesn't get talked about enough. You know, I just feel like he has good footwork, good agility, good balance. The offense changed this year. You know, otherwise he probably would have been in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony if he was in that old Wisconsin offense. So I feel like he's someone that could hit the ground running as a rookie, plays the position kind of like Derrick Henry, where it's just unassuming speed and acceleration, but the footwork is so consistent to where he's going to pick and slide his way through the lane and make something happen. So he's someone that's going to either be a leadoff guy in a committee or a bell cow guy for a team. And all again, I wouldn't count out you know, I know they just signed somebody, they signed multiple people, but I mean, listen, Harbaugh can do some wild things. So wouldn't see them consistently stockpile the backfield, which tells you what they think about the run game and their passing game and taking the ball out of Herbert's hands.
I'm sure there's gonna be more on Braylon Allen coming up pretty soon here. At 55, it's still you, Emory, now for the Miami Dolphins selection.
Offensive line help. Blake Fisher, I think, is a really good tackle coming out of Notre Dame and helps them up front. And they needed depth. When they started losing guys last year, that's when things fell apart. Get quality depth here in the second round.
Dallas Cowboys up next at 56. Thor Nystrom, you're up next.
Just mentioned the first running back that got taken off the board. And a lot of these exercises, we have this slot being the first running, where the first running back goes off the board to Dallas. But the other thing that Dallas needs, it's not just one starting offensive lineman, it's two of them, right? Because they lost their center, Tyler Biadasz, in free agency, and also Tyron Smith. In the first round, they get Talisi Fuaga. this is sort of the out-of-the-box thing. You don't see this in a ton of mocks, but what if they went offensive lineman in their first two picks? The possibility would be presented in a scenario like we have here, their division mate Eagles and Howie Roseman just got a gift with the NFL sending Jackson Powers Johnson down the line, which means that Zach Frazier, the really good center from West Virginia, has been sent down the line as well. Dallas is going to decide to make a situational risk here. We're going to take Zach Frazier to immediately plug that center hole in our starting lineup, and we're going to defer that running back need into round three and hope an immediate starter is available to us there.
All right, Derek Brown is back again with more trades. Trader Derek at 57. The Broncos have moved up here. D-Bro, walk us through the trade. How did we get here, and who are they taking?
God, there's a Trader Joe's joke.
There is.
Somewhere.
Trader Joe's has some
somewhere
wonderful things.
Somewhere
I love
in
Trader
there.
Joe's.
Yeah. So, Denver decides and says,
that's why
look,
I'm the host and you're the analyst, because I would have already had that joke in the chamber.
I didn't
ready
know
to
where
go
to go with it. I just want to mention it. It has to be right. mentioned. Okay.
You stick to making trades for the Denver Broncos. What do you got?
Well, look, Denver Broncos fans will be happy for this because nobody wants to see Jared Stidham starting in week one. So
that's true.
We have them coming up from 76 overall. So they're going to trade 76th, 136th, and 145 for this 57th pick to come up and select their quarterback of the present and the future, Bo Nix. I'm not high on him, but I will definitely say he is going to be better than Jarrett Stidham.
All right, at 58, the Packers are on the clock again. Emery, last time we went on the offensive line, are we going to hit the secondary now?
Yes, with a guy that definitely fits in with what they want to do, and Mike Sanders still out of Michigan, elite slot corner. Great return skills, can help you out on special teams, and excellent ball skills as well.
Next up is the Houston Texans at 59 at Thor Nystrom.
There hasn't been a safety yet off the board, so we're gonna do that with Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. Very good shot to be the first safety at the board. He's the first safety on my board, was the best one on film, in my opinion, in college. The only question with him, it's the measurables. Interestingly, the guy that he looked up to when he was going to Minnesota, Antoine Winfield Jr., there were similar questions about him coming out. Newbin has a similar superpower that Winfield Jr. did when he was coming out, which is he seems to know what's happening two or three beats before it does. So he gets early jumps on the thing. That's why he's around the ball all the time. Texans and D'Amico Ryans, that's the kind of player that they are attracted to.
At 60, the Buffalo Bills and Derek Brown.
Well, we have a run on safeties here. First one goes off the board. Let's give him a running mate here. Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. Buffalo kind of shook around their depth chart as far as the safeties go this year. They're not going to enter week one with Mike Edwards as a starting free safety. Let's give him Bullard.
All right, the Detroit Lions up next at 61, Emory Hunt.
Christian Haynes, excellent offensive lineman for the Lions here out of UConn. Helps replenish what they lost in the offseason up front on the interior.
Next up, the Ravens at 62. Back to you, Thor.
Give the Ravens some offensive line help with the second straight offensive guard off the board, Christian Mahogany from Boston College.
All right. The Derek Brown pick is in for 63 in the 49ers.
Let's give him a help up front. Center Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia. Continue to build to the trenches.
Emery, let's close out round two here with the Kansas City Chiefs at 64.
My number one inside linebacker, good on both sides of defense, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., helps him out immediately.
Tremendous legacy player there. All right, third round is up. Carolina Panthers are up at 65. Thor, that's you.
The Panthers, of course, this offseason, the thing that they've been prioritizing not only is helping out the protection for Bryce Young to help that out, but also the receiving, the pass catchers that can get open. Obviously, that led to the Deontay Johnson trade and everything like that. Because of their first pick, it wasn't until 33. And with that pick, we gave them a linebacker, Edger and Cooper. Haven't been able to give Bryce Young more help, so let's do that now at another position in need with Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas, who was seen as the tight end, too, with a bullet heading into the process, who's going to be a guaranteed second rounder. Absolutely, the scenario is in play for him to fall into the third because he is a big slot type guy, very skilled receiver for sure, but you can't put him in line because he would get ragdolled by power. And then the athletic testing was not as good as we thought. He's in the 50th percentile for the athletic composite. So that presents a possibility he could fall down here. Carolina would probably happily stop his fall.
The Cardinals are up next at 66, Derek Brown.
Well, James Conner's entering in the final year of his deal. We got to get some electricity. We got to get some youth in that room. Let's give him Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee. One of my favorite players in this draft class.
Emory Hunt, the Commanders at 67.
in a true air raid offense, the best back is the big back because he can do it on both ends of offense, blocking and running. That's why I like Braylon Allen here for the Commanders. He's their best back on the roster currently if he's selected by the Commanders.
Feels good for Emery to take his guy there. At 68, that brings back the Patriots and Thor.
Speaking of help for young quarterbacks, the Patriots selected J.J. McCarthy earlier in this exercise, and then right away in the second round, they gave him some help with Keon Coleman as far as through the air. Now let's give them their offensive line help and give hopefully we can keep J.J. McCarthy upright. The offensive tackle class has been picked apart to this point. There's still one very intriguing prospect who is left out there on the board, and the Patriots are going to pop him here in Roger Rosengarten from Washington, a guy with very intriguing athletic traits and obviously was a stalwart on that offensive line last year as they made the collegiate national title game where they faced off against J.J. McCarthy's Michigan Wolverines.
Next up here at 69, the Chargers and Derek Brown.
Well, speaking of titles, speaking of run games, speaking of all the things that Jim Harbaugh wants to do, let's give him a tackle-breaking Tasmanian devil, a tone-setting back. Oh, I love the alliteration. Let's give him Marshawn Lloyd, baby, running back out of USC.
Emory Hunt, the 70th pick, belongs to the New York Giants and you.
Getting the best quarterback on the roster right here for the Giants and Spencer Rattler pairs up perfectly to what Brian Daboll wants to do. I love that we got the receiver first, got the quarterback now here in round three.
Interesting selection there. Spencer Rattler at 71. The Cardinals are back again in Thor.
We better do a quick recap of the Cardinals picks first. Marvin Harrison Jr., Johnny Newton then Chop Robinson, and then we got Jalen Wright. So a very good draft so far. Let's continue to help the defense with Kamari Lassiter, the cornerback from Georgia. Another one of those guys that was seen as a dead red top 40 to 50 pick heading into the process. Poor athletic testing and particularly speed is the reason he's going to fall down, probably headed to the slot at the next level. But he's going to be a very good one. The cover chops are absolutely there, and his game will play in the slot at the next level.
Something we don't say very often. The Cardinals are winning a draft. At 72, the New York Jets and Derek Brown.
Well, the Jets have been mocked to getting Brock Bowers in the first round. They didn't go that direction in this mock. Let's give him a tight end two off the board. The guy that is the best, you can make an easy case. He is the best two-way tight end in this entire class. Let's give Ben Sinnott, tight end at Kansas State.
Emory, the Lions are up at 73.
Love the third safety here, and Jaden Hicks out of Washington State can play close to the line of scrimmage, cover tight ends and backs, helps him out immediately.
Next up is Thor and the Falcons at 74.
The Falcons, their first thing in the offseason, of course, was a move that changed the trajectory of their entire offense, addressed that thing, got rid of, they swapped out Desmond Ridder for Kirk Cousins. That now with their draft, what they've done, their first couple picks, we gave them Quinyon Mitchell and Chris Braswell. How about the pass rush? Now we're going to do more help for that defense and give them Rook Arororo from Clemson. That's a tough one for me.
One more time for me, Thor, because I'd really like it.
Rook Arororo. I was in speech class when I was in the first grade. The R's are really tough for me, which might surprise people out there for someone named Thor, but I couldn't say my own name back then. But I will have it down by Thursday. Arororo. Maybe I did better that time, is a guy with multiple athletic traits who is coming along at Clemson. It's not all the way there yet, but if you're looking for like the guy that like the scouts build in Madden and the create a player, it would be him. Like everything is there. He has the length, he has the frame, he's stretched out and like a bouncy, like athletic juiced up kind of a dude. At this point in the third round, the value is fabulous.
All right, I shouldn't be laughing because I'm going to have to say that in a couple weeks.
Good luck.
Chicago Bears 75, I'll start practicing now. Derek Brown, you're up on the clock.
Well, I do appreciate Thor taking Rook here, and then I don't have to pronounce the right name. Because I wanted to go D-tackle here, I'm going to go Michael Hall, defensive tackle at Ohio State. A little bit easier name to say, so thank you, Thor.
We're going to complete the earlier trade with Tampa and Denver. So the 76 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Emory select who?
Getting more help for Baker Mayfield with Tez Walker out of North Carolina. I love this fit here because they need help depth-wise at receiver.
The Raiders at 77. Back to you, Thor.
Vegas took Michael Penix in the first round of this exercise. What do we always talk about with Penix? We love the arm talent, and when he has the protection around him and he can keep his feet set, that's when that thing plays up and that ball just shoots out of his hand. It's when Penix gets pushed off of his spot where it starts to depreciate. So it's very important that whatever team takes Michael Penix, that they have the offensive line help in front of him, and then you will see him have the shot to hit his ceiling and that arm talent to play up. So the Raiders here, after having taken Penix, they use their next pick to take Christian Jones, a tackle from Texas. Christian Jones, there is that shot that he falls to a pick like this. I really like this kid. I have him at the end of the second round on my board. And he took care of so many kids in the Big 12 on those Texas teams that made the college football playoff last year. Awesome offense, but very good value here for Vegas.
Next up, Derek Brown and the Commanders at 78.
Man, I can't believe Thor passed up Rock Chalk here, but I'm not going to let the fall happen any farther. Dominic Pooney, offensive tackle, guard, wherever you want to put him. Commanders have needs all over the line. I know we already addressed some of those, but continuing to give Jane Daniels time in the pocket, help up front.
Next up at 79, we have the Falcons and Emory Hunt.
Getting better at tight end too here for Atlanta with Theo Johnson. Excellent wide receiver / tight end threat for coming out of Penn State for the Falcons.
Okay, interesting. Another tight end there. Cincinnati Bengals at 80. That's Thor.
I think people are going to be surprised by how far this guy fell down if they've watched episodes from past months. In Tavondre Sweat is who we're sending there in the 80th slot. The planet-sized interior defensive tackle won the Outland last year for Texas. But, of course, with Sweat, he is the awesome run defender. The question was always going to be, can he be on the field for passing downs? If he was, is he going to give you anything with that? For an evaluation like that, the process had to be really good. And he had the recent thing with the DWI, which did not help with that. Because of that, he goes from a guy that was seen by most people as a second rounder to where it is now in play for a drop into a range like this. Cincinnati, though, they get the planet-sized dude in the middle that is very much going to help their run defense.
At 81, that's the Seahawks and Derek Brown.
They need help on the back end. They signed Rayshon Jenkins to be a kind of a stopgap starter. Let's give him the long-term guy and safety Cole Bishop out of Utah.
Next up is Emory Hunt and the Colts at 82.
Inside linebacker help with Cedric Gray out of North Carolina, talented player.
Next up, the Rams at 83. Back to you, Thor.
The Rams continue to attack their defense in the wake of the Aaron Donald retirement. The one thing they have not hit yet in this exercise is their secondary. They do so here with DJ James, the cornerback from Auburn.
Derek Brown, back to you for the Steelers at 84.
Pittsburgh added Dante Jackson earlier in the offseason, but they're not done. They got a guy that can play opposite Joey Porter Jr. after his fantastic rookie season. Let's get him a guy that can play, give him off some versatility outside and inside, but can be their starting nickel in week one, and Andrew Phillips, cornerback out of Kentucky.
Emery, that's back to you for the Browns at 85.
Dwayne Carter out of Duke, defensive tackle, can play across the front on the interior.
Next up again, the Houston Texans at 86, and that's Thor.
Going to send Jarvis Brownlee Jr., the cornerback from Louisville, to Houston. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., some questions about his measurables, but there is no question about his skill on the field. He was the guy that Jet Brown sicked on opposing wide receiver ones last year.
All right, Derek Brown, how about them Cowboys at 87?
How about them Cowboys? We've rebuilt the offensive line. Now let's give them a guy to tote the rock behind this rebuilt offensive line. Let's give them running back Jonathan Brooks out of Texas.
There you go. Hook 'em horns. Let's go. Texas boys staying put. At 88, the Packers and Emory Hunt are up next.
Jonah Ellis, edge rusher out of Utah. Sign me up for guys that come out of that program defensively.
Next up is Thor at 89 and the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers need both center help and guard help. I'm sending them Bo Limmer from Arkansas, who I think is both, first of all, criminally underrated, but also I know he is a really good both center and guard because he did both of them at an extremely high level in the SEC. Not only that, tested awesome, and he has length. So you get versatility with that, and you can project that he will be able to do all that sort of stuff at the NFL. Another one of those, you bring him in, and then you just see in camp where you want to ultimately put him.
At 90, Derek Brown, do the Arizona Cardinals keep crushing life?
Yes, they do. Let's add the cherry on top of this beautifully built defensive cake here that we've gotten through this mock. Braylon Trice, edge out of Washington, put him opposite the chop and let him just go destroy quarterbacks.
Emery, what are you cooking up for the Packers at 91?
more interior offensive line help with center Tanner Bordellini out of Wisconsin. Go Badgers.
At 92, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers again in Thor.
We're going to give them Cam Hart, the cornerback from Notre Dame, who really opened eyes last year with his play on the field and then opened my eyes with his pre-draft process. In addition to that, he was very impressive down in Mobile, particularly with his movement. He was staying with guys like Jacob Cowing, the little squirty jitterbug slot, which is surprising for a cornerback as big as Cam Hart, a guy well over 6 feet and over 200 pounds. So an underrated guy, certainly coming into last collegiate season, who is now starting to get his proper due, and we're sending with the Tampa Bay.
All right, the Baltimore Ravens, very dangerous here, as always, at 93. What do they do, Derek?
Let's give him a guy that can play outside, play inside, offer in a pinch, play Z for you. Again, Roman Wilson, wide receiver out of Michigan. He can push Bateman and Aguilar for week one snaps.
The Niners at 94, and Emory Hunt.
Malachi Corley, receiver, wide back, if you want to use him that way, out of Western Kentucky, will fit in perfectly.
There you go. That's a fun one. Kansas City Chiefs at 95 and Thor.
Yeah, talk about how the Chiefs need the wide receiver help. And you know, the first round we gave them the offensive line help, and in the second round gave them a linebacker. So they still need the receiver help. And that's what we're going to give them here with Malik Washington, the slot receiver from Virginia. The thing that you nitpick about him, it was the late breakout. He's a little bit older, and the ceiling probably isn't the highest, but he's dang near guaranteed to come in and play early, and he will be able to handle a metric ton of usage. The efficiency stuff, that's what he does, and he's a tackle breaker as well once you give him the ball. So I think he would be a good fit for the Chiefs.
Next up, Derek Brown at 96 in the Jaguars.
Well, you're talking about a defense that was 12th in pressure rate, 11th in hurry rate. Let's just add on top of that. Let's give him a Deesa Isaac, edge out of Penn State.
At 97, the Bengals are back for more, and Emory Hunt.
Let's go, Cam Kitchens of Miami. Nice, versatile move piece. Third safety look to go on that back end.
At 98, the Steelers and Thor Nystrom.
Remember before when I said how much offensive line help the Steelers needed when I was talking about their pick of Graham Barton? Well, it wasn't enough to give them just Graham Barton. That's how much offensive line help they need. I decided not only to give them more offensive line help, but another guy who has versatility. Graham Barton has arguably five position offensive line versatility. This time I'm giving them Delmar Glaze from Maryland, a guy who I think is super duper underrated, who I believe has three position versatility in the NFL. Most analysts don't think, like, they just put him to guard when they look at him. He was a really good tackle at the collegiate level, but is on the shorter side. However, the guy has arm length. He also has athletic traits in addition to the catalog of film that he has going back, handling really good Big Ten edge rushers. So I think that he's a guy, again, for a team that so desperately needs offensive line help. You take Barton and then you take Glaze here. You have fortified that with two dudes who are not only good, but they also have versatility.
Two picks remain, the Rams at 99 and Derek Brown.
Give him one of my favorites of this draft class, a guy that can offer some inside-outside versatility, can play big slot, can also stretch the field. Give him Johnny Wilson, wide receiver out of Florida State.
Let's end things full circle. Emory, you started us off at one, end us at 100 with the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, called an audible here. I was going to go Brandon Dorlus of Oregon, defensive lineman, but why not end it on the right note with a raging Cajun, and Nathan Thomas, offensive lineman, continue to bolster that depth up front for the Washington Commanders. Go Cajuns.
Fantastic stuff here. Again, we're going to be live for the NFL draft Thursday night right here on the Fantasy Pros channel, 7 p.m. Eastern. Be there. Do not miss it. We're going to be live here, not just Thursday, but also Friday as well. Friday's at 6 p.m., so a little earlier start, but we're going to be here breaking every single pick down. We are your perfect second screen experience. You're watching the draft, you have us on there too, on your device, on your iPad, or just have that on your device and put us on the big screen, because goodness knows Thor Nystrom on the big screen is something to behold. That's what you need, everybody. That beard along with Derek Brown's is going to be fantastic. Also fantastic, Emory Hunt, again, you are first class as always here. We appreciate all your time and energy that you gave us on the show today. Check out all his work, obviously, the game plan, and of course, all his incredible work and his analysis over at CBS as well. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Emory and Derek Brown and Thor Nystrom, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.